Okay. .paul.org podcast ghosts. And I didn't have a crazy tagline like what are they or anything or boo. But I thought I would get everybody together again and we would talk about ghost night. It's probably going to turn out like the UFO podcast where ghost one, ghost two. Because there's a lot of different things in ghosts. There's hauntings, echoes of the past, replays, the power of suggestion, obviously, and just plain old crazy human beings. So I'll start out as usual and say that I'm very, very highly skeptical, even more skeptical of ghosts than I am of UFOs. Although the Ghost Hunters paranormal state, Most Haunted America, all those type of shows and things have captured things on video and EVPs and EMPs, orbs and all that type of stuff. I don't know. It's just like Bigfoot. It's like chasing Bigfoot. It's there, then it's not. I did see some footage of a haunted ghost town on Haunted America one night. Of a brick flying through the air by itself. That was very interesting. Of course, if you don't see these things firsthand, you know, and with modern technology, like we talked about earlier, it's easy to fake things. So I'm going to be the skeptic. I'm going to be the naysayer. However, at the end of the podcast, I want to share a story with you. I've seen two things in my life that I cannot explain. Now, I don't know if they're ghosts or if it's something to have to do with the afterlife, but I just think that a lot of this is wishful thinking, because the scariest thing in human existence is dying. We're all scared of it, and if you're not, then you must be a better person than I am, because I'm terrified of it. So maybe this is our way of trying to know what's on the other side, hoping that there is something on the other side. I certainly hope there is. I don't want to just wink out and everything I've done and known and accomplished just go for naught. So I kind of think that this is kind of a projection from the human mind, if you will, or from the human heart, probably is, I'll state that better, to make that leap while you're alive. To cushion the blow of actually dying. As far as places that you live and because a lot of these ghost hunters, quote unquote, not to plug the show, but it is my favorite show for ghost hunting. I think these impressions of they say echoes of the past or impressions where you live someplace and then something typically tragic happens to you and your spirit it goes into this physical like a piano or the building or a plot of land. I don't know. I have a hard time with that. And then, you know, the building's torn down or whatever. They build another building and you come back. That just doesn't jive with me. So I am the skeptic on this. I really, really like to be proven wrong. A lot of these things are personal experiences, like the two experiences that I had. You know, I can't quantify them. I don't know what they are. I don't know if it's a ghost. You know, then the whole thing about demons, you know, without – going off on a religion tangent, you know, the unhuman spirits, part of the history of the Bible is before there was medicine and before they knew that there were illnesses, they called them demons. And if you really, you know, study that, it's not demon possession. I just don't believe in that. I just don't believe in demons. And then the whole power of suggestion, well, of course, you get a group of people, you know, in a room, in a dark room, and you say, did you hear that? 9 out of 10 of them are going to go, hell yeah, I did. So with that said, that's my spiel. And so let's see. Let's throw it over to Vernon and let him give his views on what he thinks all this ghost business is about. Vernon, what do you think, dude?
Oh, what do I think? Well, let me relay a little bit of a history of myself growing up. I grew up in Mexico, predominantly. My grandfather was a quote-unquote known and respected mystic. He dealt in, you know, what you would typically consider to be something along the lines of being a witch doctor. There were several times that he did specifically instruct me to follow him and go with him to attend to some of his, I guess you would say, clients or patients, whatever the case may be, either because they suffered some malady or there was something, what they believed to be something far more deeper or comprehensive that was affecting him or afflicting them. Being in his company, I did get to be witness to things that, you know, at the tender age of 7, 8, quite frankly, scared the daylights out of me. To walk into a shack out in the, you know, some ranch, you know, outside of town, where he's going to hold his little ceremony, and he says, no matter what, no matter what you hear, don't go outside. And I know for a fact, you know, that I recall, there was no one. I mean, nobody even knew we were there. And we go inside this little room. He lights a couple of candles, starts chanting or reciting something, and you suddenly hear these huge, what sound like giant talons, you know, scraping on the tin roof. And that's all that's between us. This, you know, a couple of sheets of tin metal, and they're like they're scratching at it, trying to get in to that little room that we're in. And I'm holding on to his leg for the life of me, and abruptly everything stops. And we're supposed to stay there. We ended up staying there the entire night. I fell asleep. I remember when he woke me up the next morning, we go outside. He's burying whatever he had in this little wooden bowl. I remember looking back at that little shack, and the entire exterior is just scored. Like somebody took, I don't know, a hay baler or something like that, pitchforks, and just scraped the back and forth along, I mean, top to bottom. And, you know, what happened, what did it, I couldn't even begin to tell you. You know, and things like that. And how that ties into, you know, the folklore that we all grow up, you know, we all hear about the so-called ladies of the lake, or the ghostly children of the school bus that got, you know, hit by a train, all these different things. You know, there are so many manifestations that we hand down to each other through story or through what we perceive as personal experience. You know, it just, at some point, it does make you wonder, is it true persistent mass hysteria that keeps going back and forth? Or is there some kind of truth to the fact that something, some echo of energy, whether it was the soul or the spirit or just the intentions or the passions of that person now gone that were so strong that they actually took some kind of solidity that manages to persevere even after that person is long gone? To me, me personally, I have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. I can't say that I'm a full believer. There's too much of the logical in me that tries to analyze and extrapolate some kind of justification as to why a perceived event took place. And even if there is no rational explanation immediately available, I tend to, you know, rely on the fact that at some point I will discern a solution or a justification that will help me understand what it is I perceived or what it is that has been experienced. In general, I want to say that the dearly departed, you know, someone dies, someone that we care about so much, I want to say that there is something there, some kind of a latent energy that was shared between, you know, through the bonds of being family or a loved one or whatever the case may be. Something stays there. Something, you know, is cut loose, if you will, from what was the foundation that was held between these people. This person dies or these people die. Something got released inadvertently, unexpectedly, because it happened. It has to go somewhere, you know. I know this sounds like totally crisscrossing different topics here, but, you know, think of the fact that you can't destroy energy. It can only be converted. Who's to say that a strong emotion isn't a form of energy, that that person who died, died in a rage, died in sadness, died in love, that particular energy remained as an echo, a manifestation that cannot be destroyed. But as you come into its proximity, could maybe through your own state of mind or state of emotions, could attract it, could, I don't know how to put it, etherically sympathize with it. And that's what allows you to now come along and experience this echo of what was, and leaves you wondering what it is that you just experienced. So with that in mind, I mean, that's kind of where my standpoint really is. I basically, while I don't doubt it and I don't fully accept it, I am basically welcoming any experience with an open mind to see if I can in fact prove or disprove it. And once that is established, if and when it does get established, you know, the true explanation as to what I experience, then at that point I'll have to be, you know, I'll have to render myself as a satisfied observer, or, you know, person who participated in that particular experience.
Okay, thanks, dude.
And go from there.
Sarah, what are your thoughts on the topics of ghosts?
Well, I think my son wants to tell us. Hang on. Okay. I am also skeptical about that. I really wish I could see some sort of proof. I really do. I've looked and looked. I went out to, graveyards at night, condemned buildings, just out in the woods at night. And I really haven't ever seen anything or heard anything. I did see something cool that looked like a ghost. It was in the back of a cemetery. There was a tree that was whitewashed halfway up, and there was a white bench in front of it. And above on the tree there was a hanging wind chime that was white. And at night in the wind, it looked just like there was a ghost sitting on the bench, and that was her head kind of moving back and forth where the wind chime was. But that's the closest I ever came to seeing one. Some of the movies, I think, that were really interesting on this was that movie White Noise, where people were seeing the patterns in TVs and radios and things like that. And supposedly that's something real. I think that would be interesting to look into. And the other movie I was thinking about is that Mothman Prophecies. I usually don't get scared at all, but for some reason that movie just creeped me out. I thought it was interesting that they said that perhaps it wasn't really a ghost. It was just somebody that didn't know everything. Maybe they just knew a little bit more than we did. So I thought that was interesting how they stated that. And it was supposed to be based on true events also. I guess to sum it up, I want to believe, but
thanks. Yeah, the Mothman, I'll just throw that in. That freaked me out too. Point Pleasant. Wow. And that is a true event. So Brandon, what do you got? What do you think about ghosts, my friend?
Well, I'd like to look at it from a little bit more philosophical perspective and say that the supernatural and the natural can work together, so that although it's not something entirely unnatural, because there is a natural explanation for it, there can still be the universe working through, or a spirit working through nature to create. To create a natural movement. So while people see them as unnatural, it can be natural, however, created by a supernatural.
Okay.
Thing.
Ed, I know that you, I think you had an experience or something you were telling me one day, or is that correct? Throw the best
no,
one
actually,
out.
Actually, I can recall three very distinct experiences. The best one is, it only happened a few years ago. I was visiting my buddy Carrie out in New Hampshire. And his dad had recently passed on. And Carrie asked me to go over to his dad's house and give him a hand, kind of cleaning things up a little bit and making sure the place is locked and had a problem with a light switch and, you know, just little miscellaneous stuff, maybe an hour or so. So we went over there, and it was just about dusk. So it wasn't really dark, but it wasn't really light. It was kind of in between. And we went in the house, and I locked the door as we went in, you know, because it was a deadbolt lock. This house has been unoccupied for a couple weeks, and who knows. So Carrie said, hey, I got to show you something really cool. So we went down into the basement where Carrie was showing me how his dad, and his dad was kind of anal retentive, hyphenated, where he polished all of the copper plumbing with emery cloth, and then varnished it so it was pretty in the basement. Okay? So the guy was a little weird. Anyway, while we're downstairs, we hear footsteps, distinct, undoubtable boots walking on the floor. Ka-tunk, ka-tunk, ka-tunk. And you could actually track the movement across the room. I'm like, check, Carrie, somebody's in the house. He goes, didn't you lock the door? I'm like, yeah, but somebody's in the house. Maybe they came in through a window or something. So I pulled out my Leatherman and, you know, Carrie grabbed a piece of pipe and we go walking upstairs. Nothing. There's nobody there. There's nothing there. And Carrie and I kind of looked at each other like, what the hell was that? Carrie, I think that was my dad just telling me he's still around.
Well, I remember you telling me that and story once. Has that ever happened to Carrie again? Is it like a... like a residual haunting, or has this happened again? Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I haven't been back to the house with him, and I haven't brought the subject up. But yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'll give him a call down the road, and I'll follow up with that. But
right,
no,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Continue.
He didn't bring it up. I know we were both a little freaked out, though. That's okay. Anyway, we were, you know, what's my opinion? I'm more skeptical about ghosts than I am about UFOs. First off, going back to the UFO comment with show me the evidence. I want to see physical proof. Pretty hard to produce physical proof of a ghost. My faith system says, yes, there are such things as the other side and, you know, the spirit world, et cetera. And it also says don't attempt to communicate because it is possible. So, you know, the seances and all that, kind of against my thing. I prefer to stay away from that sort of stuff. But Yeah, I think the Hollywood Boulevard seances, yeah, those are moneymakers, and that's about it. And they're very well-orchestrated theatrics. Do I think there are true and real seances and contact with the dead? Yeah, I think that really does happen sometimes. Not something that interests me a whole lot to pursue, but I don't doubt its existence, and I do believe in an afterlife. So yeah, maybe these people are kind of stuck halfway, or maybe they were sent back to do something specific. Well,
that's your right as an American.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, yeah, we're sort of Americans nowadays. Yeah, those are interesting comments. Yeah, the whole thing about energy, I want to focus on that, because I totally agree that if this is real, I mean, it is energy. And Vernon's right, it can't be destroyed, but maybe it can be transferred to other things. I don't see how energy could be transferred into the earth and then, you know, like the whole Indian burial ground thing, and, you know, building your house on top of it, you know, and they're going to be pissed off. I don't follow that logic at all. But I think there is energy out there. You know, but maybe that energy comes from us, and maybe we project these things out. You know, these people live on in us, you know, these people who are gone, especially if it's somebody close. So maybe these are ghosts of our hearts, and we are projecting this out. And maybe that's the energy that we're seeing. And maybe you as the projector of the energy, you can project that to other people. And then if there are other people of like mind, not with power of suggestion, but they will pick up on that energy, or they can see the same thing or experience the same thing. You know, the evidence, the photos, you know, you've all seen orbs and everything, which are, it's, you know, basically dust. You know, EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, I find very interesting. It's sort of like audio matrixing, you know, where you listen so hard for something in the static, you actually hear something. Now, I have heard some EVPs on Ghost Hunters that are voices, not static, and they're coming from nowhere, from empty rooms. It's either a very elaborate hoax or it's real. Of course, that's their experiences, not mine. You know, the whole thing with, you know, a cold spot, you know, where, you know, the energy where the ghost is trying to manifest itself and it goes cold around you. I've also seen seen on TV, you know, where they speak to the spirits and the spirits interact with the physical world. That's where I draw the line. I don't think they do that. I also agree with Ed. I don't have the same belief system Ed does. However, I will say that I don't want to go looking for this stuff. I'm not going to have a seance because, you know, if you can open, if that door indeed can be opened, you got problems. I mean, because let's face it. I mean, it's like when you open your door, your front door. I mean, good things are going to come through and bad things are going to come through. That's I don't agree with that. I agree. I think the opposite, that they will come looking for you. I've had very, very vivid dreams of my father. And wow, you know, those are the closest things to a visitation I've ever had. You know, I was seeing a woman out here for a while, and she told me of her fiance, and just out of the blue, just told me this story. I didn't know anything about me, or we were just trying to get to know each other, and told me this creepy story one night that, you know, she's laying in bed and she's watching TV, and you know, her feet get cold, but she's under, you know, the covers and everything, and then the bed indents down, and she feels his presence, and it lasted maybe 7 to 10 seconds. You know, this was totally unsolicited. We weren't talking about ghosts. Like I said, she didn't know, you know, the paranormal UFO geeky guy I was, and just told me this story, you know, about her past. So weird things happen, you know, but these are all, then again, you know, personal stories. These investigations these people do, like I was saying, I think the Ghost Hunters is the best paranormal state. However, they have really, really bad techniques, if you ask me. However, at the end, the people who are being quote-unquote haunted feel better. So who's to say that they're not doing a public service because people, you know, they get something out of it. You know, I still am very, very skeptical. I want to believe this. However, at the same time, I don't, because when I die, I don't want to be hanging around. You know what? I've had enough of this place. And I want to move on. And if there is a better place, you know, for us, I want to go there. And I don't want some yahoo calling me. I don't want to have to be embedded in some, because my luck, I'll get embedded in, you know, in some kind of piece of hardware in a data center, and I'll never get any rest. So I don't want that to happen. So maybe that's part of why I don't believe it. That's kind of fleshing out, you know, what I feel. And yeah, you know, the whole thing with the lighthouse, that was really cool too. They saw something up there. They saw it moving around. There was a motion detector up there, and the light didn't come on. And when they went up to the top of the lighthouse, the motion detector turned the light on when the humans walked up there. And then the door was padlocked. That was very odd. Ghost Hunters International has some very odd things happen across the pond. Ferry trails and all those type of things. You know, you build your home on a ferry trail, the ferries are going to be pissed off. I think if you believe that, you know, that things are going to happen, you open yourself up to that, to those vulnerabilities. I can't speak to Vernon's experience, because that's physical evidence, you know, the scraping and seeing that. I believe him. I remember him telling me about his granddad being a witch doctor, and I remember the tarot cards that he used to do for people. Until it happens to me and I take a picture of it, you know, or it sits down and has a homebrew with me, I'm just going to say no, I don't believe. But there is some there's some very compelling evidence. I myself have thought about buying a digital recorder and seeing what I could hear. But I found myself in Radio Shack staring at them, and I didn't have the guts to do it. So maybe that's why I want to, you know, push that away, because I, you know, I'm fearful of what I'm going to find. So let's see. That was a little ramble there. Brandon, you got anything else? You got any personal experiences that maybe have happened to you in the past that you could share with us?
The first time I died, a little black screen popped up, said game over. Now I get to become a ghost and I have to run back to my body, and like all my equipment is damaged. So now that I actually experience the being the ghost and having to like take that long trek from the nearest graveyard.
So that's all you got.
Hopefully not too long to get to my body.
Just giving you shit. All right. Sarah, have you witnessed anything? You have like a personal experience, anything?
Well, let's see. The things y'all were saying about your dad's, mine recently passed away too, and there was something odd that happened whenever we had signed my mom and dad up to get a new well, because they were having problems with their old pump, and it come to find out the USDA actually offers a service of giving a new free well to people that can't afford it. Anyhow, so the guys came out to do it, and right in the middle of them telling how great it's going to be and all this stuff, and my mom was happy, and then there was this big
I like that.
Stand of flower pots just like fell that. Over right in the middle of the floor. And so we thought, yeah, that's him being excited. I don't know. I don't think there was really anything else.
Please, Go ahead, please.
I'll probably think of something tonight when we finish talking. But oh, I did want to say something about the energy projection that you were talking about. I just seen this report by a scientist. He took random number generators, just little electronic devices. I forget exactly how they built them. Something about, anyway, so they had these little random number generators, and they put them all over the country, or all over the world, really, and they would just let them run, and they were all networked together, and they'd look at all the results, and of course, the laws of probability says it should be 50-50, and that's what it was most of the time, unless there was a really big event, and at that time, it would drastically change. If there was, well, the big thing was 9/11. That was the biggest spike they had on the chart. It was huge. You could see that there wasn't a doubt about it changing. So their questions was, is it because everybody is experiencing the same thing that maybe they project some sort of energy or just collectively have this experience that's so strong?
Wow.
Anyway, I thought that was really interesting that maybe people can
change
things.
Go ahead, Ed. Go ahead, man.
What do y'all think about that?
Okay, thanks. I had an interesting experience in my old house where I grew up out in New Jersey. And when I was a little kid, there was one corner of the basement that freaked me out. If there was no reason for it to freak me out, it was lit, it was full of stuff just like the rest of the basement, but I always got the creeps when I turned my back on this one corner of the basement, and it just freaked me out. I had to run upstairs and never really mentioned that to anybody. And then moved to California in 82. This is when I was a 10-year-old kid that happened. Or awful. Anyway, moved to California in 82, was married, had a couple kids, and about 5 or 6 years later, after I had moved, I was talking to my former wife that, you know, I had that feeling in the basement, and she goes, "Oh my God, I felt that too. I had the same feeling." So my kids were like 8 and 9 years old, so they didn't hear any of this conversation. We said, "Hey, Jason and Dana, anything weird ever strike you about the basement in Madison Park?" And, "Oh yeah, this corner over there, it just freaky." Okay, and those were totally independent, not discussed ever before responses to some sort of energy thing, whatever. Never saw anything, never heard anything. It was just a feeling.
Speaking of the energy and where something odd going on, they say that buildings that are built on limestone,
maybe something that realm.
I forget the hotel where The Shining is based on, but it's built on a huge limestone deposit. And you're from back east, so maybe in that basement, your house was built on a limestone deposit, because they say that the energies, if they do get embedded into, especially like into the bedrock, then they are amplified by that. Now, the other side of that is most basements are fear cages, you know, where you have all this exposed wiring and the EMP is very, 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 very strong. However, what you're saying is only one corner. If, you know, anybody in the family would look in one corner, they would get the creeps and, you know, want to head to the hills. So, I like things like that are independent, you know, where you say, but you can't preface it with anything, you know, just like, "Hey, you know, go down to the basement and get me something," or whatever. And you go, "Well, you know, I don't like going down there because, you know, that corner over there on the east, it just freaks me out." Independent confirmation is what it's all about with, you know, all this stuff that we talk about is having it confirmed. So, Mr. Klein, the whole energy thing, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, being as the main purveyor of that particular type of theory, as it relates to quite a few things, ghosts, of course, or the paranormal, as we have been discussing, included. I actually tend to lean a lot more towards that. I lean a lot that the fact that we are, you know, as briefly touched on in our previous podcast, we are entities of energy.